sure most of you are aware of that. There is a practice movement, if you want to call it that, but at least a practice there among many people in the business world and even in their personal lives, that if they want to get ahead, they want to stay motivated to make progress in their lives, do the proper things, keep things going forward, if you will, in their life, that they have these inspirational quotes they use to spur them on. These inspirational quotes are there. They can be posters. They can be little sayings. Sometimes somebody's found something there that just means a lot to them. And so they'll write it down, put it like in a mirror or someplace they can see it every day. Some people have it where they work. Some people use it with school, whatever it might be. But they have these particular inspirational sayings there, again, just to keep them, spur them on, to keep them motivated, because they know human nature being what it is, we so quickly, we so easily weaken as a result of just who we are. Not only the temptations and things like that, the results of original sin, but it's that consistency of staying with God and loving Him and serving Him as we should. We want to be motivated. People at work recognize they can't always be at the same level they want to be, but they want to use these inspirational sayings that will help them to keep at that particular point, spur them on, rise up at that particular point, and accomplish great things, work, personally, whatever it might be. And I'm going to bring it in here, what we can do in our religious life and things for God. A couple of, you know, inspirational sayings. I've seen many of them over the years, but one that comes back to mind that I saw in a poster, somebody, a little small thing, is that change your thinking and you can change the world. What it emphasizes to all of us is just how important our lives are in good example to other people. That if our thinking is more positive direction, I can do these particular things, I want to do these things, then it will affect others. It's like an infection, if you will. People just want to get behind another person who has that same person and drive and things of that particular nature. So this particular model just is there to kind of spur people on individually. That can help to change one person at a time, better by better. Another one I read a long time ago, it says the most powerful weapon in the world is the human soul on fire. And what that is we've got to love something in life. We can either love ourselves to the point that we are damaging to ourselves and the works around us. We can love the cause for which we have. We can love our faith, for example, in such a great way that it affects our entire life and everything. But it's more than just having love for it. It's on fire with it at that particular point. If the work that we do, the help we give to individuals, love of our families or friends, whatever it might be, if we are so strong in our dedication to them that we are literally like on fire, it's something that consumes us, it's something we want to involve in a great way every day, then yeah, it is the most powerful weapon on the face of the earth. Because again, people who are on fire with things, people that most other people want to, because again, the majority of people just don't have that fire, that oomph, what it takes to do things. But if they can get behind somebody who's doing it, they will. There's another saying. I just want to throw this one in because I remember seeing it, but it motivates those who have restaurants and are cooks, and it says everything goes better with bacon. You know, just a little saying that's out there, you know, in the restaurant at that particular point. And it affects the way they cook, the way they act, things, the attitude they take toward the things they're cooking. Setting aside those particular things, you know, I don't come to give sermons just on human motivation. I'm here for what we can do to keep ourselves spurred on spiritually. You know, if we've ever noticed things about ourselves, this is where the honesty in itself has to come up. That, as I mentioned a little bit before, we can't always stay at the same level of motivation that we want to. We really do desire it. If we love God, want to serve Him, want to make a difference in our lives, make changes. We know we've got either bad habits or bad tendencies, and we know that we need to change in every particular way. We know that there must be a dedication to that particular cause, or else from time to time, because of the weakness of human nature, whatever, we fall away from it. Well, this is what we want to look at here in this life. What can I do right now in my life, spiritually, to keep me motivated? It's easier to keep motivated with the things of the world and secular things because human nature being that, that's the way it looks. It seeks those particular things because seemingly whatever we think are more important in life, they affect our daily lives. And for our religious duties, we just say, okay, I know what I need to do, and if I happen to slip, oh well, I'll pick it up later. I'll do it maybe tomorrow. Get better at it tomorrow. It's that tomorrow business is what we've got to get rid of in our lives. We've got to get motivated with the point today, be driven today to do the things for God. And then after that, after working on that particular point, see what we can do to be, if we can, as far as humanly possible, the grace of God, be at that level of motivation the next day and the next and the next. We don't want to let the world drag us down. We don't want to get involved in procrastination. Promising God, yes, I'll do it tomorrow, God. I just give me today so I can take care of these things. Then tomorrow, I promise you, this is what I will do. If we know anything about ourselves, most of the time that promise goes nowhere. That promise gets, you know, dried up in the very words it's spoken right after it's spoken. Most of us are procrastinators. It means we put things off. Too many of us are spiritual procrastinators. We put off our spiritual duties until tomorrow or the next day. Well, I've only got enough time just to say these few prayers. And I promise, well, I can't do it this morning, but I'll do it tonight. Then tonight comes, oh, I'm too tired. God, you know I'm too tired. I promise you tomorrow. And so we start to kill off that motivation that we need to be strong and loving God, that fire in the soul that is needed there to help us to live for God in every way, to take the work of salvation seriously. To help us with that, we need motivational sayings that are found in our spiritual life. I don't mean going to the computer, internet things, or going to find posters and going to the Protestant bookshop and coming up with something. You don't need it. The scriptures are filled with them, especially in the Psalms. The book, The Imitation of Christ, is absolutely filled with these motivational sayings. One line or two from there, thought of continually over and over again, spurs us on to imitate Christ in every part of our lives. But in today's gospel, there's a motivational saying, if you wished. You know, if I wanted to, and I'm not trying to make it cavalier sounding, but if I wanted to compare, you know, Christ, Jesus Christ to any motivational speaker, obviously he was the best of all. His words touched the hearts of men. It made them want to be better in every way. Grace came with them, and the more they cooperated with that grace, the stronger they were behind the imitation of him and putting into practice all his words and loving him above all things, then there was the source of their motivation to love God and to be serve him better and better each day. Today's gospel, like I said, presents it. It's the very last line in today's gospel. It summarizes the whole message that Christ came. Put first the things of God. Put first the things of God. Make God that important in your life that he is the first place. Not just in words, not with little motivational posts, things like that. Not with a little poster that I can put up on the wall and say, see, I've got this poster on the wall. That means I'm motivated. That means I mean thing, and I can read it just for a few seconds, but you know human nature. We can put a poster up that, we'll get so used to seeing it, it doesn't mean anything to us anymore. There has to be something more than just a few physical things that can keep us motivated toward God. And it's all based on how you and I love him. Above all things, like the Catechism says, our whole heart, mind, soul, strength, everything we have in us has to be dedicated to him. Was giving a series of marriage classes, preparation classes for a couple recently. And one of the things the author of the books that I use as reference sources for it, they constantly return to this particular theme. If the couple is going to have a happy marriage, God has to be first. God and his laws, the works of the church, all those things must be first in their lives. Not the influence of the world, not what I think should be done, not what I can see in trashy books and movies and things like that. God has to be first, and I have to be more than just willing. I have to be determined that God will be present in my life in every way, or summarize it, St. Paul calls it, two together in Christ. If that is missing from the Christian relationship, then what's missing is Christ in there to bless the couple in their marriage. In our own daily lives, the same thing is true. If we do not put first the things of God, Then what else do we put first? What is ahead of God in our lives? Nothing is supposed to be ahead of Him. We'll know that. We could probably tell other people like that, but we don't live that way like we should. We don't put God first. He isn't the greatest of our priorities in life like He should be. We procrastinate. We promise. We give in to sins and temptations, promising Him we'll do better, or oops, I'm sorry, God, or it's because of the people I've been around, or because of these different things, rather than owning up to the point, I just don't love you, God, like I know I should. I try to skirt around that particular point with it. I say I love you, but not first in my life. That's obvious. And there's a promise that goes with this saying. It finishes it out. Put first the things of God, and then all other things will be added to you besides. You're looking for your worries and wants and things, just like our Lord describes from His Sermon on the Mount. That's part of the gospel for today. You look at all these things and worries that take place with it, and His promise is there. If you love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, if you put me first, here's my promise to you. If these things that you're asking for are good for in your life, you will have them and more. But if I'm not first in your life, then what is first in your life is going to be more important. And if it's not God, if it's selfishness or anything else along that way, do not be surprised if the things that we desire, the things that we need in our lives, aren't there, especially peace of heart and soul, especially the drive to do the things for God, that fire in the soul that we need to say, I love God, and nothing but nothing is going to stand in the way of that. Put first the things of God, and all other things will be added to you besides. There's another saying that's really darn close to it. And it's worth saying, like I said, write it down. Put it someplace you'll see every day. I don't care where it is. And don't be embarrassed if you put it someplace where other people see it. That too might help motivate you. And people will see that you're determined. The love of God is more important in your life than any other kind of saying that's out there. I'm motivated to do by my life in a spiritual manner the best way that I can. Because God is the most important part of my life. Not just human motivation. Not just do things for my career and whatever. Do them for God. This saying is, like I said, I hold it really close to that. To those who love God, all things work together unto good. The first of the quotes, but first the things of God, is from Jesus Christ Himself. The other from here. This is from St. Paul, one of his epistles. But they carry the same message. And that message is, our whole lives, everything about us, must put God first. To those who love God, all things, crosses, trials, joys, all these things work unto good. You need things in your life. You need perspective. You need drive. You know, whatever. Love God first. Not yourself, not other things. Don't try to run away and escape from God. Love God first. With everything, every fiber of your being. Have that fire in the soul that is the greatest and most powerful of all weapons on earth. It can change us. And it can change others. I'm sure you're probably aware in the knowledge of ourselves and you know how we are, that we have internal talk, is what they call it. I don't mean that people are talking to themselves and they seem that they're weird and crazy. What I mean by that is the things that we're saying on the inside with ourselves. The things that can either drag us down, oh, I'm no good, oh, no, no, no. And I don't necessarily express it to other people. But it's in my thoughts, it's how I speak to myself, the mumbles that I do through the day, that affect the way I work. It affects everything I am about myself. The respect that I have for self, the courage I have in doing things. There's other self-talk that can just build me up too much with false pride, and then I'm going off in the other direction here. Looking to myself for all the answers when in reality they're not there. They're focusing with God. The most important thing for us, for you and for me, knowing that part of human nature is, what is our self-talk? What is it that we say to ourselves here? Do I make excuses for the points of religion? Excuses for my love of God? Because of this person, I can't do it. Or I'm too tired right now. I'll do it again later. I'm too busy, God. You know I'm so busy. So I'll try and make it up. And it's like Martin Luther, one of the problems with him, that he looked at the busyness of his life as the most important thing and then put off his prayers. To the point he prayed all his prayers he should have prayed during the week. He tried to pray them on Sunday and then just got so tired, so fuzzied out in the head, he just couldn't do it anymore. But his busyness was so important there. That's what took him away from God and the church. That can happen to us. We can convince ourselves with that self-talk of doing the wrong thing. Absolutely the wrong thing. In our lives, thinking the wrong thing, saying the wrong thing to ourselves. And that affects everything we do. There goes that human soul on fire. The powerful weapon is no longer the weapon for good. It's a weapon for encouraging procrastination, putting things off. Put first the things of God. A simple saying. And some people might think it's too simplistic. But I'm here to tell you, if that is your internal talk, as things go on through the day, you have a choice. You can talk with God a little bit in prayer. You can get involved in here. Get so distracted with some other things here, you forget about God. And purposely at times too. Trying to make excuses for it. It's stopping those excuses in my life. Stopping those excuses that come along and say, well, you know, God, you know, I don't have to, I just don't have time for this. Or I can do it tomorrow. It's that interior voice that we've trained ourselves by good habit to say, put first the things of God. To those who love God, all things work together unto good. I'm going to put Him first in everything. My daily schedule, my prayers. I'm going to put first the things of God in spiritual reading and meditation. People complain, you know, I'm so distracted at prayer, Father, sometimes I just give up on praying, I'm so distracted. It's your own fault. Don't blame on other things around you. You live a distracted life, and then what do you want to do? You just want to cut it off. Okay, it's time to pray, now, Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, like that. And then all of a sudden, all distractions are supposed to disappear, all my love of God appears, the birds are chirping, the angels are all around, the sun is shining, all these things, prayers have every meaning. Then I go right back to my distracting life. It doesn't work that way. I've got to train my mind and my heart to keep my focus on God. In other words, the simple words throughout the day and all the things that I do, put first the things of God. Then when I come to prayer, I've been putting God first in my life so far and up all this day. Don't I think when I come to prayer, I'll do the same thing? And He will put me first, if you will, of His love and focus and concentration and inspiration. Spiritual reading, meditation helps to fill my heart and soul with thoughts I can have during prayer. If I don't practice reading and meditation well, then I'll never overcome distractions. I'll come to prayer and mumble words, but after a while the words don't mean anything. And so as I mumble words, my mind is off thinking of, let's see, what am I going to make for dinner? No, I got to do this. I got to call this person right here. And all these kind of things, mumble, 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 mumble. I don't please God. I don't please Him in any way. Because I've allowed myself a distracting, empty prayer. It's empty because it's not filled with spiritual things. But I can read lives of saints and so many other things. Meditation. Like I said, a few lines are the imitation of Christ. Read them. Take a few minutes. Reflect upon them in quiet. And then see how much that will do for you. How much focus will come back in your day. The peace of heart and soul that will return. Put first the things of God. If I put first the things of God, I can control anger and impatience. Because I know that is not what God is. God has taught me what God is love. My thoughts, my words, and my deeds are all reflective of that point. I'll put first the things of God. I'm not going to make excuses and say, it's not that bad. You just have to deal with it if I have this anger or these kind of sayings around people. Nah, 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 nah. No, I don't deal with it. I'm a person who's putting first the things of God in my life. And that governs everything that I do. I'm ready to perform personal acts of sacrifice and mortification. Because if I don't mortify myself, those things that I know that are wrong within me, I'll never put God first. Our Lady of Fatima, when she came, she said one of the things that God is asking of us in our time is personal sacrifice and mortification. Well, here we are. To put first the things of God, I've got to die to myself. Isn't that a bit how St. Paul puts it to the Galatians, or reading the epistle today? Those who are Christ have crucified themselves with their vices and incupiscences. Crucified means they don't make excuses with them. They don't say, I'll put it off till tomorrow. Or it's just the way I am. I know I'm weak, but it's just the way I am. And what? God's going to have to deal with that? No. Not at all. But first the things of God. We put first the things of God in choice of our companions, organizations that we belong to. Anything that we are involved in today, if it doesn't lead us toward God and putting God first, even our jobs, whatever it might be, our studies in school, if they're not done for the love of God and to use our talents well for the love of God because He gave them to us, I'm not putting first the things of God. If I do all of these advancing in things and it takes me away from God, then here comes another saying from the scriptures that is very important. What does it profit a man if he gained the entire world but suffers the loss of his own soul? That's not a rhetorical question from Jesus Christ. That's one that has to be answered by you and by me. What does it profit a man? The answer is nothing. If he loses his soul and not gain heaven. There's another sentence right after that one in the scriptures. What will a man give in exchange for his own soul? How do you value your immortal soul? Do you think of it that much? Is it that important to you? Or is your career, your job, your friends, this, that, whatever, more important consideration of those things than it is your immortal soul and how well your soul is filled with God and His love? That's what's important. We put first the things of God when we develop a Catholic conscience in all things. Not how the world looks at it and its secular ideas. Not the points of behavioralistic practices that say, well, man can do this and man can do that. No, I have a Catholic conscience to it. I have responsibility. I love God. And God loves me. I'm confident of that. It focuses on the very things that I do in my work. And the things I do during the day. For example, the sanctification of Sunday. How important that sanctification is. God has told us that this is a day of rest. His day. And yet so many people go out shopping. They get involved in organizations that keep them so busy on Sundays that God is not put first anymore. And the more they stay involved in those organizations, the worse it gets. Put first the things of God. Last Sunday I spoke about devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It is Mary's role to lead us to her Son. The more devoted we are to her, the more we can be confident we will put first the things of God, because that's what her role is, to lead us to her Son. So many more points I could bring up about what we can do in our daily lives to put God first in that particular point. Let me just finish up by anticipating the offertory verse for today's Mass. That as you read that, maybe it'll help you to motivate you back to this particular point of putting first the things of God. It's a line from the Psalms. It says, taste and see that the Lord is sweet. What it means by that? When we've given our lives over to God, we have the taste of loving Him and serving Him. When there is a peace in our heart and soul that can come from no other place at all in any way, I will see that there's a sweetness, a joy, a peace there comes to loving and serving God that'll find no place else. It's an invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is sweet. Not the world, not our own ideas, not sinfulness, not selfishness, not procrastination. Taste and see that the Lord is sweet. And He is. He is to those who love Him. To those who put first the kingdom of God and His justice. The promise is there. Put Him first. Then everything else you need in life will come together. If we are going to be children of that promise, if we are going to taste and know for goodness in every way, the Lord is sweet, then you and I need to put God first. Let's pray we can do that always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.